Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Miles Simmons coming up in about 40 minutes. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. We're having fun here.
Hey, we're having fun.
On a beautiful Thursday in
Cleveland.
You
want to tell your joke so bad.
Nope.
It's so funny. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying I can tell when she repeated it to Meredith after she was done with her update.
Well, no, because she was in the room and didn't hear it. And she would enjoy that joke as well.
We've talked before about people that go to parties and they get like one joke off and it hits. And then that's their joke for the night. Mm-hmm. And then they go from like spot to spot to spot just retelling that one joke.
Mm-hmm.
This is your joke for today.
Is it a good joke?
It's a good joke.
All right, then.
It made me laugh.
I think it made Mac laugh, even though he was the butt of the joke.
Didn't make everyone else laugh, but it made...
Mac, can you confirm or deny that you laugh?
Made me laugh.
Yeah, it made me chuckle a little bit.
All right. By the way, next time you can just turn on the mic. You don't have to delay. It's kind of timing. It's okay.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I just wanted to let that sit in there.
Don't make me say it, Mac. I just made the joke. I will say and I will repeat the joke in a different.
I just don't know how Wemby went from like 7'3" to seven. I don't know where the 4 inches came from.
Not doing it. Not doing it.
I said I don't know where the 4 inches came from.
Wah, you gotta look at Mac's mom. Sorry. He set me up twice. It's not on me. I took the high road once. I will not take it twice. I don't know why I'm yelling at you. It's been a really inappropriate joke about your mom. Now, that being said, we're having fun.
Hey, we're having fun.
We did just play one of the Charles Robinson clips on 102.5 The Game in Nashville. And obviously, they're asking about Kevin Stefanski because they think the world of Kevin Stefanski. Because they haven't watched him make Dylan Gabriel throw 52 times in a game yet. But here's another interesting bit of sound that we got. And it was Charles Robinson. Again, the whole United Front thing. Thought partners with the Cleveland Browns. We've been wondering, all right, how aligned are they really? Charles had a really interesting, but I think predictable answer on the state of things between Stefanski and Andrew Berry.
2 or 3 weeks ago, they said, hey, is Kevin on the hot seat? And I said, no, no way. I said, he and Andrew Berry, I said, they're good. They're on lock. Then they traded Flacco. And Stefanski comes out, and I'll never forget listening to that press conference. And I was texting the guys, I'm like, you listen to us right now? Like, he put it on Andrew. Like, he was like, look, I trust Andrew. It's like, he kept saying it like over and over again. And I'm like, yeah, I know Kevin did not want to create an environment where he had this veteran quarterback and who he wanted to continue starting. But at the very least, if he wasn't going to start him and he had a rookie starting, he wanted to make sure he had the veteran in the number two position, the support role. And then now that guy's playing for the Bengals. And, you know, you could tell, I'm like, this feels like there's a tiny bit of separation now between the head coach and the general manager. And since that press conference, I'm kind of like, yeah, this feels different. You know, this feels like Kevin's, there's a little bit of a gap there.
So Charles is really smart to frame this on that first press conference where we all heard the obvious.
It was weird. It was incredibly weird, and we'll talk about it probably years from now being like, that was that Tuesday press conference and how just abnormal it was.
Now, here's what's really interesting. Charles has been one of the guys that is incredibly plugged in Berea.
Mm-hmm.
So while he does not specify beyond this, I'm going to go ahead and say, since he heard that press conference, he's checked in with his people in Cleveland. So I don't think it's a coincidence we're hearing this now, because one of the, at points, criticisms I've made about Kevin Stefanski is that he is incredibly, he gets his messaging out there. He gets what he wants out there, including what is said about him. He helped shape the narrative of woe is Kevin and Jimmy Haslam is this and this, that, and the other. But we haven't heard the narrative of there's a gap or there's a split there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that Charles, who is as connected as you can possibly be,
yeah,
I would say if he had heard something to the contrary, and he, again, he's close to the situation in Berea, he's got contacts in that building, he wouldn't be saying this.
Something happened. Clearly something happened. That's why Kevin felt and talked the way that he did, and that's why it's been awkward now for about 2.5 weeks. And that's why, honestly, when we talk about this stuff, we are talking about it as if Bert and Ernie isn't a thing, and as if there is some sort of separation between the two, and as if Andrew Berry might make it out and Kevin Stefanski won't, which is not how we ever discussed this partnership.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. This organization, as constructed with Berry and Stefanski, they're not just concerned about how they're viewed in Cleveland. They are concerned about how they're viewed outside of Cleveland. So I would be pretty surprised if at any point it got as bad as it was with Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown, or Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey. I would be really surprised if it gets to the level of toxicity we've seen Pettine and Farmer, right? They're not going to come out and tell you, oh, I don't trust that guy anymore. That's not how this is going to work. You're going to hear it through the national media first, and then maybe we'll get smatterings of it here locally. But this is, we almost, one of the things we almost got into on today's show, or almost put on the rundown, was the combustible environment in Miami and how it compares to here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you look at it, you go, wow, Tua said this, and Mike McDaniel's contradicting what a quarterback says. That culture, that situation, there's so much more tension there. I don't think we can make that statement definitively, because I think we're starting to hear from more people saying, yeah, you know, there is a gap there. A gap when it comes to the thought partners. That's as much as you're going to hear about the situation between the two of those before this thing is clearly irrevocably done and somebody's on their way out.
Well, and we always thought that something like this could happen if they got to a point of desperation. I mean, that's when people act desperately, this is the type of stuff that you then have come out, because they were so aligned through so much of this. But again, when you thought your job was 100% safe, everything was copacetic. When you start to wonder and question if that is in fact true, then all of a sudden they start bus tossing other people. Like, well, things change.
Well, and I thought you were going to say bussing, like the popular,
like how kids do, or bussing, yeah, with the boys.
But yes, I thought you were going to go there. No. You didn't, and so then no. I had to retrieve.
What were you going to say? I can finish it with saying bussing. Go ahead, and then that's when they were bussing. We're gonna yell at me for being too hip?
No, I just really enjoy you using vernacular. It's so 6'7". Now, why do you do? People on YouTube, can you give them the 6'7" again?
I just did it
because it's more of one of these.
I just did it,
and you're doing one of these.
I just
you're
did
making
it.
A pizza.
Well, and I scrunch up into it just because it's funny, because I know what I'm about. I know to get you to laugh is all this.
It's working.
am I juggling? What am I doing? I don't know. You tell me. Hot plates coming through?
There's another thing you could be doing.
Easy now.
Yeah, I'm just saying, there's multiple things you could be doing there.
You're not going to out-freak this freak.
Many great things. No, I think we're in a really interesting spot. And we continue to come back to the importance of winning on Sunday. Winning allows some of that steam to escape in Berea, allows some of that pressure to go away. And with every loss, that pressure is building. And again, like right now, my official stance is I don't think we'll ever get to a point where it's just so obvious it's uncomfortable for everyone and something has to be done. Because I do think these guys both know they turn things around quickly by taking the high road, both of them. We're close. We're not there yet.
That's what they've
always
done.
We are close to this thing being as uncomfortable as it could possibly be between two incredibly mature, level-headed human beings in a highly pressurized environment.
I think Kevin Stefanski is an incredibly classy human, but I do think if Stefanski wants to take the gloves off, I think the firepower that he could just throw at this Browns organization while using people in the media instead of, you know, it being, hey, Stefanski says this. I think it would surprise a lot of the listeners just how fierce he could make this if he wanted to. I think there's a sleeping dragon there with Stefanski that can be awoke.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't even
and
think
he knows where the bodies are buried, too. And I think that's going to be a scary thing for a lot of those people in that Browns organization, I would imagine.
It's not even about just Stefanski. There's no shortage of people around the NFL, either in the NFL offices, meaning like within front offices around the NFL, or media members who have not forgotten any of the various things that they don't like about Jimmy Haslam.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is the entire thing? It's been about those poor guys. They got to work for that guy. If one of those guys happens to say, oh, hey, report this. Hey, can I tell you about this? Remember that thing we talked about that one time? Let's go live
with
that.
Well, so the difference between... So here, okay, I think it's important to note this, right? When Hugh Jackson left, remember what Hugh Jackson ended up doing? He told everybody under the sun, I'll speak to you guys in a couple years when my contract allows me to, because he got paid out beyond just his final year, and part of that stipulation was you basically got to stay quiet. Freddie Kitchens went around telling everybody that the moment that his contract was up and he could actually speak, he was going to speak to everybody. And guess what? By the time his contract got to be up, no one cared anymore about the stories. Yeah. You know, 3-4 years, whatever had passed, nobody cared about the stories. The interesting thing about where Stefanski is that Stefanski has a newer contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so Stefanski would also be under that same little area that these other coaches were in, where they're not going to do their own public tour. They're not going to do their own media tour. They can't speak in the public after this. If they want their money, they're going to have to sign the same thing that Hugh Jackson signed, that Freddie Kitchens signed, that says basically, we just don't say a word about the Haslams. But they're so well connected, I promise you. If Stefanski wants to get this thing ugly, he can get this thing ugly.
They have to win on Sunday. And it really feels like whoever loses on Sunday could be in immediate danger. But the Browns have to win on Sunday. I know why the Dolphins have to win on Sunday, because I think they're far closer to firing McDaniel. And I think McDaniel wants it at this point.
Do you think Stefanski wants it at this point?
I think he'd hate it. I think he'd rather, I bet you Kevin would rather frame it that he resigns from a job than he gets fired from a job. Whereas Mike McDaniel is just looking for the
money. There's a lot of money left for him in getting fired.
I think he's confident that he'll get his money one way or another.
I'm glad he feels that confident because, and again, maybe he ends up with the Titans, maybe he ends up with a different team. But like, if I'm Stefanski, when they start speaking this way and you can start saying the separation is happening, it's very hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube. And it feels like the separation's already started to happen and the divide has already started to happen there.
There's one more thing that this points to. I think Kevin knows he's really close to losing that team. And I don't mean that in a mean way. You can't go 1-5, 1-6, 1-7. You can't do that and keep a locker room when you're coming off 3-14 in the wake of the Deshaun thing, and how even if he was forced to play Deshaun Watson beyond when he thought he should last year, it does not matter. Like, this is the danger zone for Kevin, and you'll know Kevin has lost that locker room when we get that first full foray. When Kevin's side starts to leak out beyond what Charles Robinson said. 216-474-0092. Charles Robinson went on 102.5 The Game in Nashville and said things have changed, that there is a gap between Barry and Stefanski since the Joe Flacco trade. Speaking of high-profile trades, another one could be on the way. Well, that's 5 minutes from now on 92.3 The Fan. On Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We've got Miles Simmons of Pro Football Talk, NFL writer, Cleveland's own. Now lives out there. He's a coast. I don't. What the hell do we? A gold coaster? Is that what we call people who live on California? Is that what we do?
A gold coaster? I don't know.
Is that it? I don't know. Anyway, he lives in LA now, so he's very important. However, he'll be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. I do want to ask him about the Charles Robinson stuff. And if you guys are just joining us, the first piece of sound we had was him talking about if Kevin Stefanski could end up in Tennessee, because Tennessee fans really want Kevin Stefanski. And his answer was, sure, maybe Kevin probably wants a better job than that. Then we just played him talking about Charles Robinson on 102.5 The Game in Nashville, talking about how things have changed for Stefanski for Stefanski and Barry since the Joe Flacco trade, and how there's a gap there. And now I want to play this for you because I think this is another sign of the relationship that I think Kevin has with certain media members and the idea that Kevin could leave here and that maybe there's greener pastures out there for him.
Someone said to me, they go, you know what? They're like, Kevin's going to be just like Baker. He's going to leave Cleveland. He's going to do great. And they're going to say the same thing you're saying about Baker. Sometimes you just need to get away from the dysfunction to be what you can be. I think Stefanski's a really good coach. I think Cleveland fans hate him. I think they can't stand him. I think they think he runs a vanilla offense. I think he's been a horrible situation from a quarterback standpoint since he's been there. And even when the Baker situation was good, you saw what he could do. And then Baker gets hurt. And then there's other elements of like OBJ being on there and all the drama that was sort of happening then. Stefanski's the one where I'm like, he could become available. And I think he could go elsewhere and do well.
All right, the first thing that I think Charles, with respect, has no business talking about is Browns fans' relationship to Kevin. I think the world of Charles. He is incredible at what he does. He does not live in town. He is not equipped. I don't think fans hate him. I think fans have watched him go 4-19 in the last 23 games and are justifiably frustrated and wondering how good of a coach he is.
I think fans tried really hard with Stefanski. Myself included, I'm sure I'd put you in that category.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Corey as well. I just, how I feel about it is I tried really, really hard. I love the idea that he was an adult. And like if when he takes a job, let's say it is Tennessee, and then all the Tennessee stations, they call us to have him on the shows and everything like that. I can tell you what I'll say right now. I mean, it's nothing's going to change. You get a pro. Mm-hmm. He's professional. You have a real adult standing up there answering questions. Somebody that you know is taking the job seriously. Somebody that you know is doing everything they're supposed to be doing as far as checking off all the boxes. It just, he's only as good as his team is ever going to be, which is another way of me knowing whether or not he's going to be good in another spot or not. Like, he's never going to take a team and make them better. He's never going to take a worse team and just completely crater him either. He's going to be a product of what the team around him is.
I think that's a good way of saying where I think he is. I don't think Kevin's a great coach. I also don't think he's a bad coach. I think he's somewhere between average. I don't really want to say above average because I don't know that to be true, but he's somewhere in the average to adequate range. But this idea of, oh, well, the quarterback situation, I got to say, there's plenty of people in the national media giving him the Peterlin pass for the quarterback situation.
The Peterlin pass.
As if this dude had no say. That is wildly disingenuous, and I can only think that if you're saying, look at the quarterback situation he was given. He was given the number one pick in the NFL draft, who, by the way, has since become an MVP candidate somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even cling to, oh, he played his, Baker played his best football under Stefanski. That narrative is 3 years defunct now. because he's gotten better. His first year in Tampa was better than anything he did in Cleveland, and then the second year was better than that, and this year is better than that. So I just, like, this is why it's so hard to have a genuine conversation about Kevin Stefanski, because there are people who are stuck on narratives that, quite frankly, aren't true about him. And we got, you know, we got crazy fans out there, like our buddy Randy on Facebook.
Oh, Randy's out to lunch.
Who's just unhinged about Kevin Stefanski. Cope harder for a .456 winning percentage head coach. He's a adequate head coach.
So
he is a part of the failure in Cleveland, whether anybody wants to admit that or not. And if you can't admit that, then we're not having a genuine conversation.
Do people look at it like it's like Belichick after leaving the Browns and he's going to go to this other spot and he's going to be like an all-time great? Or do they look at it more like Andy Reid leaving the Eagles to then go to the Chiefs to then have himself bumped up? Like how... I'm dying to know what people think, like what, the elevation that Stefanski can take in going and getting away from the Browns, because for some reason people make it so astronomically high, and I just don't think it's ever going to get there. He's not Shanahan. He's not LaFleur. He's not O'Connell. He's not McVay. He's not one of these guys. He can be a good coach. He's never going to be a great coach.
Yes, this is like if you give Brian Callahan Joe Burrow as his quarterback and he's the OC, he's going to get that Tennessee job. Oh, look. Look at what Brian Callahan did with Joe Burrow.
It's Joe Brady. It's a Joe Brady conversation.
Exactly. So, like, I'm not here to tell you, well, if you give that guy a franchise quarterback, you just described 60% of coaches in football.
So many people, if you give them the right quarterback, can make this thing work. But for Stefanski, I think he falls in that bucket of coaches that needs the right people and the right quarterback and the right team.
To reset this to the initial point, which was this is going to be Baker Mayfield. One, nobody, including myself as a Baker bro, thought this was going to be Baker. So that is why, like, when Baker left here, well, no, I mean, is we thought he would still be a good quarterback elsewhere. Didn't know.
I did say that he was, it was going to be Mahomes versus Baker was going to be our generation's Manning and Brady. So I'd like some acknowledgement on that.
Wasn't that before he got cut, though? Were you saying that when he was getting replaced by Deshaun Watson?
We took it the whole way through, brother.
Okay.
We took it the whole way through.
Well, fight the good fight.
We
appreciate
really fought.
You.
This is what you know about me. We don't give up in
you
that
don't.
Regard. We
and
just
I appreciate
don't.
That.
We just don't. We believe in something and we just continue to believe in it.
I guarantee you Charles Robinson 3 years ago wasn't saying, oh, Baker's going to go somewhere else and be better. Don't recall Charles saying that. People are saying that. Charles is saying that now about Kevin. But here's the thing. Much like the Baker thing. Guys, if Deshaun had lived up to the hype, and you had been to an AFC title game by now, been to the playoffs 3 straight years, and he looked like a $250 million guaranteed quarterback, there would be no complicating factor with the Baker stuff. Oh, that's great that he worked out, right?
You know,
it's
well, you
Matt
know what
Stafford and Jared Goff.
You know what it'd be? I have a different one. It would be Daniel Jones right now thriving in Indy. How many Giants fans really care? They look at Jackson Dart. They're like, mm-hmm. Jackson Dart's our guy. We have it figured out. They're not crying over spilt milk with Daniel Jones and what Daniel Jones has become in Indianapolis. They're not even throwing haymakers towards Brian Daboll. Well, why didn't you get that Daniel Jones? He's 5-1. He's MVP consideration. They don't even talk that way.
They're like two bad games away from that, but you're right.
We have Scataboo. We have Jackson Dart. Let's do this thing.
We got a couple bros headlining our
team. We're just going to bro out. Who, you bring the protein shakes.
I was going to go protein shakes, but you handled that the right way. You're a professional. But no, if Deshaun had worked out, the Baker stuff would be mitigated. Maybe not entirely, but it would be mitigated to some degree. So if Kevin Stefanski goes elsewhere and is a good head coach, but you get the right guy who's the next part of this, any of that's going to go the way. The reason why the Belichick stuff stung is Belichick won 6 Super Bowls while you had a winning percentage of, I think, 375 through the first 20 years of you being back. If you had had a 675 winning percentage, even if Belichick was beating you in, I see what I did, and the 6-7 things really just go into my brain. if Belichick was beating you in conference title games to win those Super Bowls, you wouldn't be saying, oh, why we had him, why'd we let him go? Because you'd still be saying, we lost in the AFC title game, right? Like, I get there's a threat that Kevin might go, of all the head coaches we've seen since 99, yep, he's the guy that I think there's a reasonable chance he could go elsewhere and have success. It doesn't mean that should get in the way of asking yourself, is he still the right guy for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, really what you're doing in many ways. Now, is the Baker side of this, is that making people more fearful? Because as I describe this, it might make people more fearful. You gave up on Baker because you thought that there could be something better on the horizon. You're giving up on Stefanski if you do so because you think there's going to be something better on the horizon. I think at the end of the day, though, you just have to understand Stefanski's never going to be that coach here.
216-474-0092. So Charles Robinson believes that Stefanski could leave and be better elsewhere. How big or how much of a factor is that in how you view Stefanski and whether he's still the right fit for the Cleveland Browns? Let's go with Patrick in Hudson. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Guys, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, absolutely, Patrick. Buddy. What you got for us?
Well, really, like, I just wanted to add that I really compared the season a lot to, like, the 1-31 days. And unfortunately for me, this is almost worse now because at least with the 1-31, you knew, like, the singular most problem was the head coach in Hugh Jackson. You could bona fide, you know, say that. Now it's a mess of you don't know whether is it Stefanski. You know, obviously there's blame to go all around, but what's the biggest issue? Is it Stefanski? Is it Barry? Is it the quarterback? Is it the roster overall? Is it your owner? It's just insane how promising this team once was and how much of an absolute mess it is now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I think most people nationally, Patrick, would say Haslam.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I can't really refute that Haslam isn't a big problem. I can't remove ownership. I don't have the power to shame Jimmy Haslam out of Cleveland.
It's just a waste of time talking if that's the conversation.
Now, do I think Jimmy Haslam? So we talked a lot about...
He spends a lot of money. I like that about him.
Yeah,
but he's just way too involved right now.
At some point, I don't give a rip about your process. I don't know. But that's part of the process is we're going to outspend everyone. If that doesn't lead to wins and losses, or if that doesn't lead plenty of losses, if it doesn't lead to wins, I don't give a rip. Dan Gilbert spends a lot of money. I've got a title for that, five NBA finals runs, and this next team feels like it could make an NBA finals run as well.
I guess what I'm saying
is money well spent.
At least he's not meddling while also then being cheap about it. If they're only trying to give him the silver lining, but the end result is the end result here, and most national people would say that Haslam's the problem. Hey, bring Florio on for 2 seconds. All he wants to do is tell you how Haslam's the problem. Nothing will be fixed until Haslam's not the owner anymore.
That's a great point, by the way, because Haslam can be a problem. And that can also not be the entire story with the Browns. I think it's incredibly convenient to Kevin or Andrew or Dee Podesta or any of these guys. Now, here's the difference. I think we're past the point of Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski learning their lesson for Deshaun Watson. I don't think we're past the point of Jimmy Haslam learning that lesson. Because the one thing I don't think we talked enough is Jimmy Haslam went through 1-31 to get a team and then let two guys he hired destroy that team within about 5 years.
No, but
valuable lesson that he needs to learn.
No, Nick, the most important lesson he's got to learn is the idea that, first off, in today's football, it doesn't take 12 years to rebuild a team. But he let us all go through 1-31 and thought that was the answer to then end up with one playoff win to then have other people come in and make that same suggestion. They weren't as obvious about it, but they made the same suggestion. You won 3 games this last year. You're going to win 3, 4, 5 games this year. We're basically doing the same thing to end up with the number 2 overall pick last year and whatever this year ends up with. You think this is going to end any differently?
216-474-0092. Charles Robinson had a lot to say about the Cleveland Browns and play at least one of those pieces of sound for Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, and Cleveland. I almost said kid. He's a grown man. But we'll play with that for him and get his take on how bad things really are in Cleveland in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, now to go ahead and talk about Charles Robinson's quotes on the Cleveland Browns, the state of the Cleveland Browns, we head out to the fan hotline. A welcome on of Pro Football Talk, Miles Simmons, Cleveland Zone. What's up, Miles?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing all right. It's getting interesting early here. It does feel like we're starting to get reports that maybe the thought partners aren't as aligned as previously thought after the Joe Flacco trade. Where do you think the pressure cooker is in Berea?
Well, I mean, it's already December in Berea, right? It's only October 16th, especially, you know, if these guys go out there and lose to the Miami Dolphins in, you know, potentially 45 to what, 60 mile an hour winds on Sunday. My gosh, if you can't beat Tua Tagovailoa in those conditions, then yeah, the conversations are going to get very loud very quickly. It is interesting because, I mean, I guess with my Cleveland colored glasses on, I was probably a little too optimistic about the way the Browns could play even early in the season. But, you know, what's interesting to me about that quote from Stefanski where he said he was surprised, you know, by the trade. I mean, in context, he was talking about the fact that the Bengals would call them in the first place was surprising. Right? And so maybe there's more to it than that. But I think, you know, reacting off of Mike Tomlin saying Andrew Berry, you know, in his press conference is smarter than me or than I, like, there's now just weird stuff that is going on with the Browns that, you know, in some ways is more external than internal, but you can't tell me that there's not some sort of internal turmoil when you are 1-5 a year after going 3-14. Like, that's you're setting, there is no world where, like, teams go this poorly for this long. And even if Kevin Stefanski is a two-time head coach of the year, like, there have to be significant changes because this team is not competitive.
Are they a package deal, Stefanski and Berry, or do you feel like there is an opportunity where Stefanski would end up fired and Berry would keep his job, or vice versa?
I mean, you can't put anything past Jimmy Haslam, but I would say that it's best to clean house. I mean, I always think it's best when you have a GM and a head coach who are totally aligned. And sometimes that comes from a lot of the time, really, it comes from the GM picking the coach. But, you know, I mean, there are other situations where if you get an experienced head coach, like, for instance, a Mike Vrabel, like, is a guy that you would probably let pick his own GM. And I guess it could be a sore subject for some people that I'm bringing up Mike Vrabel's name.
Yeah, thanks for that, Miles.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I cover the league nationally, okay? What am I supposed to do? But it's that I think is part of it. You know, who are you getting in to be the next head coach? You know, if there is a next head coach of Cleveland Browns next year, and what does that mean from a GM standpoint? I don't know. It's a little early to handicap it.
All right, Miles, we talked about this a little bit earlier. If we start to build a blame chart, or let's say a blame pie graph for why this thing is where it is, how much goes to Jimmy Haslam? How much goes to Paul DePodesta? How much goes to Andrew Berry? And how much goes to Kevin Stefanski?
You know, what does Paul DePodesta do? Does he live in, like, out here with me in Southern California?
Yep. San Diego.
I
totally
understood what Paul De Podesta does. San Diego. Yeah, in San Diego. Yeah, so I said Southern California. You know, it's
the whales.
San Diego basically could be a different state. Yes, exactly. I don't know how much to blame Paul De Podesta. I mean, like 100% of it goes to Jimmy Haslam because he's the one hiring these people, right? So, you know, and like from all the different folks that Jimmy Haslam has hired since he was approved as owner back in 2012, back when I was interning at 92.3 The Fan, it's, you know, you have like this now weird situation where, okay, he's hired these different people. Stefanski and Barry have far and away, unfortunately, been the most successful out of them. But when you go 3-14 last year and you're 1-5, you're kind of like, has it not run its course? I mean, I think that I don't know that there's real reason to fire Barry and Stefanski on Monday, say, if they go out and lose to the Dolphins on Sunday. Because what does that do? But, you know, in January, if this team ends up, you know, with a similar record to what it does last year, I don't know what the argument is for keeping them around because they're not getting better. So this is not a league where it's like, oh, yeah, five-year plan. And even if you did have a five-year plan, these guys are in year six. So it's just kind of like, all right, this may have run its course at this point, unfortunately, if things continue the way that they've gone.
Have you been impressed with Dylan Gabriel through two games?
No. Should I
just had to ask it that way because we've had guests on that say they're impressed with Dylan Gabriel. And so we both are not impressed with Dylan Gabriel. But I don't want to assume that you're not because I've done that a couple times already this week. And then I've gotten some curveballs.
I mean, I don't think Dylan Gabriel's a terrible quarterback, but I mean, it's hard to be impressed with, Sam did score 20 points. Like, what's there to be impressed with offensively right now? I mean, Quinshon Judkins looks like he could be a dude, but that's nice. I mean, he would be probably better off with a team that had a functional offensive line. And, you know, this is the Browns don't, I mean, for various reasons. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think Dylan Gabriel has been horrible, but to say I've been impressed, but no. But there's nothing impressive about that offense in general right now.
All right, Miles. Bengals Steelers tonight on Thursday Night Football, little AFC North action. Mm-hmm. If the Steelers win tonight, are we calling the AFC North settled for Pittsburgh?
Yes, absolutely. Man, who's going to challenge them? I mean, Joe Flacco might be able to do some fun things with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins over the course of however many weeks he's going to be playing there. And look, I don't think that there's a firm guarantee that even if Joe Burrow is healthy to come back in December, like why would you put Joe Burrow out there on a surgically repaired foot if the Bengals have like 3 wins in December, which is something that could certainly be the case. I mean, Joe Flacco has a decent arm still, right? I mean, we watched it, but he can't move. He's a statue. And with the way that offensive line is constructed down in Cincinnati and the way that their pass protection has worked historically under Zach Taylor, like I don't see how you're going to have a Joe Flacco that doesn't throw a bunch of interceptions. Like that's what he does at this point. So, yeah. And the Ravens, I mean, even if Lamar Jackson comes back and he's doing MVP type things, that defense is just an absolute mess. So I don't know what they're going to be able to do down in Baltimore when you already have 5 losses on the season, right? I mean, that's not something that you can easily come back from. I don't know, man. I don't even know how good the Pittsburgh Steelers really are, but yes, they could absolutely have this thing wrapped up effectively tonight. If you go and you take it to the Bengals and you give them 5 losses and you start out 5-1, I mean, it becomes their division that they're really going to have to fall on their face in order to lose.
Miles, we got to run, buddy, but we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right, take care, gentlemen.
Miles Simmons there, Cleveland Zone, of course, Pro Football Talk, NFL writer on the Fan Hotline. React to what he had to say about Dylan Gabriel and many other things in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.